Welcome to another episode of the React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by Pumpkin Spice, the flavor that's the seasonal passport to the Basic Club. Episode 276, announcing Ignite V9, Espresso.
Hey, Mazen. Pretty sure there was some sort of like really important like soccer thing that happened recently. What's going on with that?
Yeah, the Women's World Cup. Is that what you're talking about? Could that be it?
I don't follow these things. I think that's what it is.
Yes. Unfortunately, though, it was in the middle of the night because they had it in Australia and New Zealand. So it would have been, since you're on the West Coast, it would have been like midnight or 3 a.m. for you. And for me, it was like 3 a.m. or 6 a.m.
I feel like 6 a.m. is doable. I'm up at 6 a.m. most days, yeah. But I would not have watched it at midnight.
I did get up at 6 a.m. for the finals. Well, funny enough, I was already awake thanks to my son. So, yeah.
So were you happy with the outcome?
No.
Do you have some bitterness about the outcome? Okay.
It was a great World Cup because I think right up when the semifinals got there, it would have been a new winner, a country that's never won the World Cup before. So,
okay, that would have been fun.
Well, it did end up that way, actually. So Spain won it, and it's their first World Cup on the women's side. And the men also had their first one recently also, 2010. And yeah, it was a good one. I mean, countries that have never played the World Cup before played and had amazing tournaments, some major upsets. All in all, good stuff. Nigeria exceeded expectations, so that was a good one.
See, it seems like a win all around.
Yeah, and largest attendance ever at any Women's World Cup event. So that was really good to see.
Oh, awesome. I had to get that sports ball talk in because I think our fans expect that from us.
Exactly.
All right, we'll get on with it. I'm Robin Hines, of course. I'm your host for today. I am Director of Engineering at Infinite Red. I'm located west of Portland, Oregon with my husband and my two kids, and I've specialized in React Native for over 6 years now. And I'm joined by my breathtaking co-host, Mazen, and a special guest who I'll introduce in a second. Frank Calise is on the podcast today. We're very excited about that. But of course, Mazen is our lovely co-host. He lives in Durham, North Carolina with his wife and his little boy. He's not a baby boy mm-hmm. anymore. Full-on toddler. Mazen's a former pro soccer player and coach and is a senior React Native engineer here at Infinite Red. And then our wonderful guest today, the infamous Frank Calise. We've talked about Frank quite a lot on the podcast. He's our resident Expo expert here at Infinite Red, and we're super excited to have him on today. Frank is originally from New York and now resides in Bluffton, South Carolina with his wife. I've talked to her a bit. She's very nice. Mm-hmm. He's a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and is also a senior software engineer here at Infinite Red. So thank you so much for coming on, Frank. We're very excited to have you on to talk about our topic today, which before we get to our topic today, I do have to mention that we're, of course, sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remote in the U.S. and Canada. If you're looking for React Native expertise for your next React Native project, hit us up at infinite.red/React Native. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio podcast. So, our topic today, announcing Ignite version 9.0, the codename Espresso.
Is that how we're going to say it now?
Yes. I vote that we change it officially.
How does the fellow Italian feel about that?
Well, I came up with the name realizing that people would have an opinion on that variation of the word, but it's a fun play on words, so I think we're going to stick with it.
If you write it out, it makes sense. It makes more sense because it's the word expo with, you know, expo, espresso. But The reason it's codenamed that is because V9 of Ignite has a lot of focus on expo and improvements to developer experience and speed of getting started if you're using Ignite to spin up your project. So that's hence the code name. But we don't want any angry Twitter DMs about how we pronounced espresso.
Or you could just send those complaints to Frank. That's fine.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good idea.
That's why we have guests, Frank, so that we can get all the
share the
bad media sent over your way.
Sounds good.
All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of what Ignite V9 is all about. We'll put the pull request in the show notes so you can see the code. But today we'll walk you through the highlights and what we changed and why. So let's kick it off.
Cool. Yeah, I can get us started here. I know we haven't done a Expo version 49. 48 was the last one that we did on here. So this one kind of doubles on that. And also it includes, so as you'll see in the pull request, we're leveraging React Native 72.3 right now. 72.3, we did a podcast on it with Ricardo and Lorenzo. We'll post that in the show notes so you can kind of take a look at that. That's basically symlink support and better error handling with developer experience improvements. Frank, can you give us a little bit into what Expo 49 provides?
Absolutely. One of the main features of Expo 49 this time around, it was a focus on debugging. So there's a new integrated network debugging and React DevTools support that's been added in. So shout out to Cedric of the Expo team who got that to work. And basically what this enables you to do is watch your network requests live while you're debugging your application, something that people have been using Flipper for. And with that support being dropped going forward, they came up with this as a replacement. Another really cool addition there is debugging in VS Code, not having to leave your IDE via the Expo Tools extension. Cedric also worked on that, and it's really cool to see, you know, a stack trace come up in VS Code and understand where your errors happening so you can get a quicker feedback loop on making that fix.
And can you do breakpoints in VS Code now with this?
Yes, you can, which is really awesome to have.
Yeah, I agree. I'm
really excited.
Yeah, I think a lot of times whenever at least I've had this experience, whenever I'm consulting on a project, one of the first questions usually we get from native devs is how do I debug and put in my breakpoints? Because that's usually how they do it. And I think VS Code has this like cool looking arrow that it's like an up and then like back down. It's like step through the next line kind of thing as we're trying to figure out what's going on. So I think that's awesome. That's now just in VS Code. You don't have to leave VS Code. It's almost like elevating VS Code to be like Android Studio and Xcode.
Yeah, exactly. Another feature would be Expo Router version 2 was released with SDK 49. And although that's not the default in Ignite 9, it is supported out of the box. And we're currently coming up with an Ignite cookbook recipe, so you can follow the tutorial on how to enable Expo Router and be on your way to file-based routing, which is really interesting.
Yeah, that's really exciting to see. I know Expo Router has been something I've been super excited about for a long time. It was a little too alpha. It was like 1.0 was just like not quite ready for a full production app. So I'm excited to see it maturing, and I'm hopefully going to get to use it on client projects pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm excited to take it for a spin.
We did have an episode with Evan Bacon a while back about Expo Router, which we'll link in the show notes as well.
Another item that I'm super excited about is the enabling of the new architecture. All of Expo's modules are compatible now, and they made that easy via the Expo Build Properties plugin. And we wired that up in our CLI as an experimental feature. So if you want to generate a new Ignite app with the new architecture on, that's right in our onboarding steps there. And you can toggle it at any time. But we're happy to say that you can now play with Ignite in the new architecture.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. Getting closer and closer every day to new architecture by default. Another pretty major change was sort of the rework of how we do the splash screen in Ignite. For a long time, we had had this sort of the concept of switching between vanilla and Expo, and so we had two different splash screen implementations for each one of those. Vanilla, it was React Native Boot Splash, and then Expo used Expo Splash Screen. And it kind of led to this decision point that users had to make really early on in generating their Ignite app, because the splash screen loads right away, and so you're sort of immediately presented with this decision point. And I think the original reason that it was fragmented that way is because Expo Splash Screen, there was a bug in it, and it didn't work with vanilla. And that's since been fixed. Is that right, Frank?
Yeah, there were some specifics around an issue in Android 12. So we moved around this via config plugins, which Expo provides. And shout out to Kate at Infinite Red for the contribution there in Ignite 9. But now those changes that need to be done to the native code to fix that issue is brought into the Ignite boilerplate.
That's awesome. So now React Native Boot Splash, we completely removed that as a dependency, and both configurations use Expo Splash Screen now, thanks to config plugins.
That's correct. We still use Boot Splash on the CLI for generating your app icons and splash screen because it's great at doing that. But we chose to just use Expo Splash Screen as the default splash screen module.
Gotcha.
I still have hopes of making a config plugin for React Native Boot Splash so that if you wanted to incorporate it in an Expo project, that would all be wired up for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think this has twofold, this little piece. I know we're talking about Boot Splash specifically, but this sets the scene and like unloads and directs us to the fact that now in Ignite V9 Expresso, you can do config plugins. And I kind of like how you have it laid out where they're all in their own folder and then they get imported into, I assume that's build time. We'll get into that later. But not only are we focusing on using one package being Expo Splash Screen, it's now setting the scene for all other config plugins with the with Splash Screen plugin, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the idea was to really set users up to be able to feel comfortable with config plugins and be able to write their own. Like Frank, you included a lot of comments in the with Splash Screen plugin to sort of help users understand what's going on, right?
Yeah, definitely. We wanted to use it as kind of a guide as to, hey, if you have to write a custom config plugin, this is how one would look. And so we made sure to add extra comments, how it's working, what are some kind of standardized formats of laying one out for both Android and iOS. And you can get a lot of good information on these practices just by reading Expo's repository, but there's a more contrived mini example with this splash screen plugin that we've incorporated here, and I think it's a good learning tool.
I mean, that to me, just kind of looking at the file, 74 lines, you get rid of all the comments and the extra spaces, what, 60 lines maybe? And that's just to get the like quote-unquote native side of things that you would usually go figure out, where's my info p list? Am I putting it in my build app build Gradle or my build Gradle? And then, oh wait, what now? That all kind of goes out, and then we're just building it and coding it in, you know, JavaScript, TypeScript, which we're familiar with and do it pretty much every single day. So I think that really does make it cleaner.
Yeah, that's all taken care of you. That's the beauty of config plugins, and I've used it not only with Splash Screen, but React Native purchases and other variety of packages. And it really works so well. And it just gives you that confidence that if you're going to regenerate your native code, you know, those changes are applied.
It's awesome. Yeah. I'm probably just going to mention this real quick. I think we don't have to touch on it much because we've discussed it in multiple places. So you said at the beginning there was a bunch of CLI improvements that were made, Frank. You know, now we're not differentiating. So the flag, we had a flag before, right? It was like --expo. We're no longer differentiating between expo and vanilla. Now I guess we're calling it expo and DIY, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Maverick Ignite 8 deprecated the expo flag because it joined the two efforts together. And so now that that's been deprecated for some time, we just removed it entirely. And then going forward, the CLI will prompt you, you know, would you like to start a project in Expo Go? Would you like to run with config plugins and pre-built? Or do you just want to handle all the native code yourself and you can do it yourself with that last DIY option?
Are there any other flags or setups in there?
We've added experimental features now, and the only one currently is the new architecture. So if you want to opt into that, there's a question around that or a command line flag if you already know what you want to do. Other than that, it's pretty much the same standard Ignite prompt.
Yeah, I think the goal with this version was to make it more clear which sort of version of Ignite you're choosing and what it means in terms of how you're integrating with Expo. Or we've basically made it so that the project that you end up with is pretty much the same project no matter what. It's just the difference is whether you're managing your native directories on your own or Expo is managing them with pre-build.
Definitely. I think part of the issue with Ignite 8, it was a great idea that we married the two workflows together, either Expo or vanilla. However, what came with that was a lot of confusion to the general population that uses Ignite if you weren't living in it like we do and understand, hey, I'll have to make this call whether or not to go vanilla or all Expo, like going forward and take out a few dependencies, modify some configuration files. And that kind of gave us trouble even, you know, using EES or not and that sort of thing. And now going this route, it cleans that up a great deal. And it's just going to be a better experience for everyone using it.
Totally agree. I think V8 was an intermediate step towards where we are now. And it was the first step in us sort of leaning into Expo, which we've pretty much gone all in on now. And I think this is a great next iteration of that has a little bit better user experience for the initial project generation with Ignite. So
yeah, Ignite 8 was the attempt at that. And then we kind of understood after some time on it, right, what wasn't right about it. And what we're trying to do in Ignite 9 is correct that and really just do it better. Like anything else you would do in development, it's the same process. So hopefully it works out.
That's really the beauty of Ignite is that we put it out there, but then we use it every day. And a lot of these changes that we've made in V9 were a direct result of us using V8 on actual projects and finding the little pain points and surfacing them and figuring out how to iterate on those and make things a little bit better. So every time you see a new version of Ignite like this, every change is a direct result of us using it in the real world. So you can be pretty confident that stuff is actually usable.
The next thing that you seem to handle in the pull request was you fixed the issue with Expo Metro Config that didn't allow NPX Expo, you know, run Android or run iOS, that wasn't working correctly with the dev client, right? So what exactly happened there?
You had to use dev client and now you don't have to use Expo dev client.
Yeah, I think there is a version mismatch with one of the dependencies, dev dependencies that we had installed. So by removing that specific version, it leveraged the one that gets packaged with Expo. And that's exactly right. That you had to have Expo dev client installed to utilize NPX Expo run, whatever platform you want to run. And that got cleared up since. So that sort of issues gone, and now you can just run your dev client build much quicker rather than going through an EAS, like local development build, and dropping it on your simulator.
That is such a big improvement. I remember with Chain React, we would do the build, unzip it or whatever, drag and drop, and then get to use it. This is just so much easier.
When I first onboarded onto what you'd done, I've been like, are you serious? This is what we have to do? Like, yeah. I was like, this is so weird. But it turns out it was because of this Metro config issue, which is now fixed. And now you can just run NBX Expo, run iOS or run Android, which is very similar to the vanilla React Native run iOS or run Android, where it boots up your packager and like opens your simulator for you.
Right. And the start scripts in the package JSON are modified to leverage these ones if you go the pre-build or do-it-yourself route. If you're using Expo Go, it'll still run npx expo start with your start command. So we do account for like which workflow you're going for. And yeah, just working more closely with the Expo team on this version, I learned that, you know, that's pretty much how they run all the time. So I wanted to be able to support that workflow.
Yeah, that's definitely my preferred way of working, because it's so much quicker. You mentioned that you discovered this, that there was a version mishmash, and so we were like installing an older version of Metro config unnecessarily. I think there were quite a number of unused dependencies that we discovered that were removed in V9, which I always chuckle, because it's like, it's just sort of like a history log of Ignite. You can see packages that were added like 4 or 5 versions ago that just have been carried along for the ride for all this time. So we just did some cleanup of the cruft. I think one of the ones that was removed was like Jest Circus, which I don't even know what that is. It sounds fun, but we haven't used it in ages. So yeah, just a lot of cleanup like that, which yeah, helps keep the size down and helps fix issues like having old random versions of Metro config. So
yeah, general cleanup. Like you said, some of these have come along for the ride for either months or years. And me being 1 year at Infinite Red, I didn't want to upset the apple cart too much here and like just start wiping things out. But I took it upon myself to do it with this version, because I think seeing a long list of dependencies in a project, especially if it's just starting out, is a turnoff for many users. So I want it to be as clean as possible and just understand what is actually being used. So for this process, I kind of removed a whole bunch of things and saw what I had to put back to, you know, get it to work again. But we definitely dropped a lot of dev dependencies, which is nice.
Oh, yeah. You should, like, in general, you should be able to walk through your package JSON and know what every single thing is in there for, and ideally know whether it can or should be updated. But that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with it over the years. Yeah,
it's so hard.
You almost have that fear of, all right, I don't think I need this. Yarn remove. And then, you know, yarn start.
And then you run it and you're like,
and you're waiting, okay? you're waiting. And then
you're just waiting for it to break.
Nothing happens.
That's how I used to do when I first started React Native. That's how I used to do React Native upgrades. Mm. Just bump the version number up, run the app and see if it breaks.
Fix one bug at a time along the way.
Kind of on that note, a feature of Expo 49 is that you can selectively opt out of package version validations. So what that means is, if you've ever run your, you know, Expo start and you see some warnings that this package version is not what we expect, maybe for Expo Go or whatever.
Peer dependencies.
Yeah. Let's say you installed whatever, reanimated 3.4 on purpose, and you're comfortable with how it's working, there's a configuration option now where you can say, hey, don't output this warning for this package and your terminal is just cleaner, you know, your development team or maybe your client, it produces more confidence for them seeing no errors or warnings in the console. So I think that's pretty cool.
That actually happened to me last week where, one, I got annoyed at the terminal for telling me to time to upgrade React Native. It's like, come on. I'm like 72.3. I'm like down by one version. Like, cut me some slack. But we pinned, I believe it was React Native maps to a certain version, and it popped up. And it's becoming pretty annoying because I'll keep getting pings from the client like, hey, can we upgrade this package? Because there's an upgrade available. I'm like, well, no. Here's a full blurb on why we need it to stay on this version because of some Android issue. And until they merge in this PR, we can't really do anything. That's cool that now it kind of suppresses that. So you stop getting that noise and then you can kind of just subscribe to the PR or the issue and then upgrade when that new build comes out.
Yeah. We've gotten, I've gotten bitten by automatic Semver upgrades recently.
Yeah.
And just like rage deleted some, like, I'll take the pack and I'll just be like, I'll get rid of the carrot and be like, no.
Leave me alone.
You stay on this version. Leave me alone. Because sometimes that's easier. So we've talked a lot about Expo so far and we're not done yet. New Ignite is also EAS build ready. And what does that mean, Frank, that it's EAS ready?
So before in Ignite 8, we have a cookbook recipe of choosing, you know, staying with Expo, if anyone's familiar with that recipe, which cleans up certain configuration files, removes a few dependencies. And then as a follow-on to that, you can become EAS build ready, which is just setting up your EAS JSON file with your build profiles, configuring the project with EAS, and you can build it on their servers or you can build it locally. But now we've incorporated an EAS JSON configuration that we did battle test on the Chain React application.
Yeah.
And now after you ignite a new app, you just run your EAS build command. And after you get your project ID from the Expo server, the build will just kick off and it's ready to go. I spun up a new Ignite app before and ran EAS build Android local, and I had my APK, you know, minutes later, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
That flow really, how do I say this, made me love Expo even more when I was playing with it on the Chain, well, playing with it, building it on the Chain React app, because other than the one complaint Robin had about dragging and dropping her APK or IAP, because
she, which is not a thing, it's not an issue, because you have run Android and run iOS.
Not anymore. I think that just the flow, the developer experience is great. And they're doing a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, EAS is my go-to for sure.
Going back to that whole dragging and dropping part, they actually did add a new command where it will grab the latest EAS build on the cloud and I believe install it on your simulator for you.
Yes, I've seen that.
It's not too much of a problem anymore.
The EAS CLI, you can just like install latest simulator build. I tend to always run my builds locally, partly out of habit and also just like control. Like it's easier to mess with things like your npm config or like other environment things on your machine than it is to fix them on the EAS server. So yeah, it's nice to have both options.
The next one I'm super excited about, this one is near and dear to my heart.
It's a good thing Jamin's not
here. Well, I picked the right episode to put this on. Ignite 9.0 is now 100% TypeScript strict mode is turned on, and I believe no any. So the goal here is just making sure that out of the box, Ignite and all its types are strongly, strictly typed and good to go. At that point, that, you know, stays at your discretion. What, if you want to keep it on, you want to turn it off completely. I think we have this debate on whether it's on or off, and it depends.
It depends. The real answer is always depends. Yeah. It's like the most developer answer ever.
But I think this is one that I absolutely like and enjoy having on. I mean, it's stressful when Frank's like, hey, can you try and turn it on and see what happens? And then you get over 100 errors. And I'm like, oh, yeah, fun. I know what I'm doing this afternoon. But I do enjoy that.
Really, this change is not about, it's really not about saying you have to have strict mode on if you're using Ignite. That's not like, this change honestly gives you more agency over that and lets you choose, because it's very easy to turn strict mode off once it's on, but it's very difficult to turn strict mode on if the code base is not like up to snuff already. So we've eliminated all the errors that were present with strict mode on. So now you can have it on, you can turn it off if you don't want to have it on, but you have the choice.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is one of those cases where we don't put anything into Ignite until we've run through it on a few client projects and you know, really tested it before it makes it into the boilerplate. And I think doing Chain React app, and then shortly after a client project Mazen and I were on, we realized when we did need TypeScript strict, we were fixing the same things over and over. So, you know, we brought those changes back upstream, and now you have the luxury of just, it's all working out of the box. You want to turn it off, put any on, and do all that fun stuff, then you can go ahead and do that.
If you have a QA team of like 100 QA devs looking after your code after you build it, sure, why not?
It so depends on the project. We were talking about the reasons that like you would have strict mode on or off. Not to like turn this episode into a TypeScript episode, but a lot of it depends on how many people are touching the code, how many people are testing the code, how many people are using the app. Like, there's a lot of reasons that you would choose to have it on or off. But now you can make that decision for yourself.
You do know, Robin, it's your fault I'm like TypeScript strict mode, right?
I know. Yeah. I know. It's...
Yeah. I don't know this.
You don't? So... No.
Okay, now Mazen has to
work. I think I've said this like every time we talk about TypeScript on this episode, but before I joined Infinite Red, I was at a company that was pure JavaScript, and I had heard about TypeScript and I always wanted to adopt it. So I tried on the side, and I enjoyed typing in TypeScript over JavaScript. And again, at that point I had done a little bit of native development, so kind of getting that strongly typed language. But then React Native Radio came out with an episode on using TypeScript strict mode. And I remember Robin said, turning on strict mode doesn't mean like everything is fully in TypeScript. You just install a TypeScript package and you convert one file at a time as you're touching. You just change the extension and you see what's wrong and you fix it. And I was like, okay, that's actually a really good intro to it. So I tried it and it worked as I was going, but then my manager would not buy into it. So I was like, I have something for you. Why don't you listen to Robin over here and maybe she can convince you. So she did convince him. And yeah, ever since then, I've just literally taken that to heart. I'm like, all right, let's go. TypeScript has to be strict. We got to type everything.
And then Mazen left that job and yes, we hired him instead. Exactly. So I don't know what kind of lesson that is. But
I'm preaching the TypeScript gospel.
We're getting to the end of our time, but there's a couple more things I want to hit on. The first is Reactotron version 3 is included with Ignite V9. Not a ton of new features in version 3, but we have completely restructured it under the hood. It's now a mono repo. Yay, mono repo. So we'd really love for you to use the version 3 beta, test it out, make sure it works great, so that we can get the version 3 release candidate out. And then the last change that we'll mention for today is there was a bin directory with unused setup scripts and post install scripts, which is now removed in favor of package.json, which is Jamin's pet.
Jamin's favorite. I don't remember if I did this with you, Frank, on the Chain React app, but I did an audit of the code at one point. And then I saw the bin folder and I got so confused, like what all these scripts are, and we got rid of them. Because actually, I believe one of them was like the build iOS one. And now since we were doing EAS, we didn't need those scripts, kind of deleted them. And eventually, I think we just left it for post install. But now that's cool that kind of goes away. So hopefully that can kind of get completely shrunk up. If Jamin had a preference, I think it would be your file would look like three things, right? It would be dot config, right? Frank, I think you know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
And another folder with docs and then another one with source. And that's it. So he can hide all the dot files in his dot config and then just have the docs and that.
There's always one or two libraries that ruin it for everyone and like will not accept anything except a dot file at the root.
I think my folder structure really, like my desk mimics my folder structure. And Jamin's desk mimics that folder structure of no folders, no files.
Mazen does a really great job of framing his camera so that you see this like perfectly put together office. What are you talking
about? Look at all this mess like, right here.
Very neat. And then like, if you ever turn the camera around to see your desk, it's a completely different story.
Yeah, so we've removed those scripts. Patch package was being done in there, but we just simply moved it to the post install package JSON step. And we removed the shell script because it wasn't really being used. It was an old artifact. And so something this does get us is improved Windows compatibility. I know I started developing on Windows years back with React Native through Expo. And that is one of the great things that it allows people to do. Yeah, you can't test on iOS emulator, obviously, but you can build your Android app. And then when you get to testing the iOS side, you know, fix up your views and stuff that are iOS specific, but you still did your application, which is really cool. And I know Keith tested that for us, Keith at Expo, and that was really cool. And I think developing cross-platform applications, being able to develop it on all the OSs, the major OSs out there is super important. And then it enables more developers, more cool apps to come out, and just a better ecosystem. So I'm happy to support that, even though Todd might not be happy.
I am hearing a lot about Windows developers these days too. So that's pretty cool that we're supporting them too.
Not all about the Mac anymore. All right. I think that's all we have time for, but I'm really excited about this release. Go check it out. If you haven't already, we'll post all the links to stuff we've talked about will be in the show notes. Go check out the PR, download the new version when it comes out, or download the beta. I think the beta is out.
Help us test the beta, please.
Please help us test the beta and then download the version 9 when it comes out. We rely on the community a lot for testing and support, and we honestly need to hear from you when stuff's not working. We love it because it helps us make Ignite better, so go out and use it and tell us about it.
Yeah, you can give it a test with npx ignite cli at next and, you know, new pizza app, we like to say, and that'll leverage Ignite 9. And there's been definitely a few folks out in the community trying it out and reporting back on the PR, and it's been great. So thanks for your help there.
Awesome. If you'd like to nerd out more about React Native, you can check out Jamin's YouTube channel, Jamin's Code Quests. We'll link it in the show notes. You can also join our Slack community at community.infinite.red. And then we also have a Twitter community. I don't know if I'm allowed to call it Twitter anymore, but that's rntwitter.infinite.red. You can find me at Robin_Hines on Twitter, X, whatever you call it. You can find Mazen at Mazen Chami and React Native Radio at React Native RDIO. Frank, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, at Frank Calise, C-A-L-I-S-E, Twitter, GitHub, most other platforms. It's pretty much the same handle.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm glad the listeners have some proof that you exist because we talk about you so much.
I got tired of asking Frank all the questions while I was preparing, so here he is, everybody.
Glad to be here, and glad I can help promote our usage of Expo and Ignite. Definitely Ignite's one of my pet projects here, since that was all I did for a long time at Infinite Red when I first onboarded.
Oh, yeah, that was Frank's first project for the first 6 months that he worked here. So near and dear to your heart, for sure.
Definitely, definitely.
As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our assistant editor and episode release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, our designer, Justin Husky, and our guest coordinator, Derek Greenberg. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out at infinite.red/reactnative. And thank you to all of you for listening. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, I do have a mom joke. Credit for this one goes to Carlin Isaacson at Infinite Red, a frequent producer of mom jokes. I told a joke in a Zoom meeting and no one laughed. Turns out I'm not remotely funny.
That's a good one.
I thought it was good. All right, we'll see you next time, everyone.